In the grim darkness of the far future, our galaxy has been plunged into the chaotic inferno of war. The bloated and stagnant husk of the once great Imperium lies vulnerable, being picked apart by the talons of the various aliens, mutants, and heretics who spare not a single thought to the lives of those who dwell upon its forlorn worlds. But currently, it seems that the desperate factions of the Milky Way may soon be swept up and consumed by the ravenous tide of an extragalactic invader. This insatiable force would, of course, be none other than of the Tyranid Menace. They have drifted in from the great void found beyond our galaxy, but they have not spied our stars in the hopes of seeking a new home. And instead, they have simply arrived here to feed. They will descend through a planet's atmosphere with their gargantuan bioships before unleashing a near-endless tide of gnashing and rabid bioforms who will flow out only to tear apart and consume all life which they may encounter. These creatures, however, are not necessarily cognizant of their actions, and in isolation, most will exist in a fairly primitive or feral state. But when they come together in a great swarm, then they will transcend their base nature to become something far greater. For you see, every single Tyranid is controlled and directed from the Gestalt consciousness known as the Hive Mind. This psychic force will permeate the minds of the chittering aliens, prompting them to act in unison, with each creature being aware of the actions taken by another, even if it is present upon the other side of the world. But the Hive Mind cannot thus far stretch its influence across the enormity of space unaided. And so, as an evolutionary marvel, the Tyranids have produced a bioform which, by its very nature, will channel and spread the Hive Mind so that the lesser creatures will all hold a synapse link to their greater consciousness. This creature would be known as a hive tyrant, and this beast, my dearest friends, shall be our topic for today. We will go over their anatomy and roll within an invasive swarm before moving on to their curious behaviors, as it has been noted that the tyrants will often act with an uncharacteristic sense of autonomy when compared to their lesser relatives. Finally, we will look at a unique and terrible variation of the Hive Tyrant, which will only be birthed from the grotesque gestation pods for the fiercest of Tyranid invasions, and this monstrosity would be none other than of the Swarm Lord. But for now, it is time for us to begin. We seek the knowledge of the Ordo Biologis, as while we could attempt to walk the pulsating corridors of a Tyranid bioship, I very much doubt that we would find a hive tyrant, and instead we would likely become trapped and feasted upon by a swarm of gnashing rippers. Within a single tendril of a Tyranid fleet, there will be a truly countless number of bioforms, chittering and screeching at one another as they wait for the perfect opportunity to descend and feed on the pathetic morsels of life found out in the galaxy. But within these tides, we will find a creature which stands out from all others as a true monstrosity, and this would be of the Hive Tyrant. Agents from the Ordo Xenos have classified this bioform as Tyrannicus Prefactor, although it will be more commonly referred to as an Overfiend. Above all others, this beast would be the closest thing to a battlefield commander that we have thus far encountered within their species, as it has been witnessed for these tyrants to direct and corral the lesser swarms as they tear their way across a war zone. As with all within this species, the hive tyrants will display a fascinating array of varying physical characteristics, with each difference having been expressed in order to make the creature more adapted to their local environment. Because of this, a tyrant from the fleet of Behemoth may seem incredibly different when compared to one from the fleet of Jormungandr, But regardless of their outwards appearance, they will still exist to command the ravenous swarms on their deadly warpath. According to records taken from the ill-fated Beta Anphelion 4 campaign, the average height of a hive tyrant was listed at only around 2.9 meters. However, as we have gathered more data over the long years, it now seems as though they will stand at around 6.1 meters in height. The smaller tyrants were similarly weighed to an average of 6.1 tons, and so we can only speculate as to how hefty some of the larger, more bloated overfiends may weigh. But upon this point, it is vital to remember that no two hive tyrants will be alike, and even if they belong to the same parental hive fleet, then there will still be smaller differences between them. These may be incredibly minor, where one tyrant will have expressed slightly thicker chitinous armor, or that another may have been gestated to use close-quarters weaponry rather than the disgusting ranged mutations which have come to plague the stars. Other mutations and variations, however, will be so great that the new tyrant could be considered as belonging to their own subgroup. The most notable example of this would be from the overfiends, who have sprouted a gigantic set of leathery wings, entirely replacing the upper limbs of their thorax. This is thought to be a mutation which occurs in response to the changing stimuli of their environment. But aside from growing their defining wings, these flyrants, as some would call them, are not too dissimilar from a conventional ground-dwelling tyrant. They will swoop down from on high, surrounded by a great flock of gargoyles, only to rain their prey in bursts of bioacids, or to simply let out a psychic scream to devastate the unprotected minds of those who were unfortunate enough to be spied by the flyrant. Some, however, will be bereft of any ranged symbiotic weapons, and so instead, they will crash directly into the front lines to tear apart and eviscerate entire squads on but a moment's notice. Since the hive mind will need to dedicate a fairly enormous quantity of biomass to produce a hive tyrant, it is understandable that they will tend to exemplify the specific natures of their fleet, often resulting in them expressing some truly unique mutations. For instance, the overfiends of the demon-hunting Kronos fleet have been recorded as possessing larger heads within which we would find dozens of small symbiotic creatures. From our studies, they have been seen to amplify the signal of the hive mind upon a battlefield, potentially explaining as to why the bioforms of this fleet seem to produce such a suffocatingly dense emission of the shadow in the warp. But on this point, if we are to speak of the hive tyrants, then we must acknowledge their truly magnificent psychic capabilities. From what we understand, the overfiends hold an incredibly intimate connection with the gestalt consciousness of the hive mind. And so strong is this link that the tyrant may act as a local conduit upon the field, connecting the lesser bioforms to the will of the hive mind via a synapse link. To briefly explain, tyrannids who have been abandoned or captured to be held in solitary confinement will primarily act on more primal or basic instincts, and in this disorganized state, they are more of a pest to be exterminated rather than a formidable foe to be handled with respect. But if these creatures are connected via a synapse link to the hive mind, then the gestalt consciousness can overrule their natural instincts, forcing them to act in a more ordered and sinister manner. From our autopsies, we have found that the central cortex of a hive tyrant will contain a massively overdeveloped network of synaptic nodules, which would explain as to how the hive mind is able to maintain such a close connection, even if they have been deployed far below on a planet's surface. But, rather interestingly, if a lesser bioform reaches a synaptic link with a tyrant, Then the Overfiend can impose their own will upon the creature, superseding the directives of even the hive mind itself. To clarify this point, we must understand that if a creature holds a synapse link with a bioform which has not been gestated to command, such as would be the case with a common tyrannid warrior, then they will be entirely reliant upon the wills of the hive mind. But in the case of the tyrants, they have been specifically formed to act with a slight semblance of autonomy from the gestalt, and so their own instinctual actions will take precedence over the usual signals of the hive mind, since they will have been developed to respond to specific occurrences within a battle. This will allow the hive tyrant to truly take command of the battlefield by directing the tides of Gaunts to follow their own strategy, which it will formulate in response to newly emergent threats or vulnerabilities found within the war zone. We will come back to this topic in the next chapter, but I should note that the tyrants do hold a great deal of autonomy from the hive mind, and they can indeed form their own strategic plans which will be cascaded through the tyrannid horde, compelling them to act in controlled unison. They will be permitted to corral the lesser swarms as they see fit, but as a result of this, it makes the hive tyrant as a prime target to be quickly hunted down. As in their deaths, the horde may very well break down, abandoning their prior strategy as they resort to a more primal and disorganized state. This, however, will be an incredibly challenging task to fulfill, primarily due to the enormous swarms which will be redirected to defend their synaptic warlord. Most tyrants will be surrounded by a living wall of protective bioforms, aptly named as tyrant guards, and whilst they possess little in the way of intellect, they more than make up for it in their sheer resilience. They will have been formed as sentient shields who will be drawn to the signal of their tyrant lord, simply as a means to protect them from all but the most lethal or overwhelming of attacks. But if one was miraculously found alone, then it would still require a specialized and dedicated force to fell. With their thick, chitinous armor and terrifying array of symbiotic weapons, they will be a true force to be reckoned with, and most who encounter an overfiend in the flesh will be lucky if they can escape to tell of their tale. The hive mind, however, will barely recognize the death of their deployed commander, and in fact, the bioships will simply gestate another monstrous creature to be sent in their stead. This newer form will have been mutated to compensate for the vulnerabilities found in the deceased tyrant. And so, as each new overfiend is killed, they will simply improve and evolve into a beast which has been perfected to counter the forlorn defenders of their chosen prey planet. On this point of producing new tyrants, I should make it clear that the hive mind may indeed commit several overfiends to a single world. If the tyrannids have committed themselves to devouring a salubrious planet, stripping it of every last trace of biomass, then we can say with a strong degree of certainty that there will be at least one hive tyrant deployed to the surface. But it is not unheard of for there to be dozens of separate beasts dotted across the planet, with each being in command of their own living tide. For you see, if we were to look at a hive fleet, such as Leviathan, which has grown incredibly bloated from feasting upon the undefended worlds of Segmentum Pacificus, then they will be able to gestate several hive tyrants for each new conflict. In these cases, the death of a single overfiend will be little more than an inconvenience to the larger fleet, and they will be quick to replace the fallen beast with one which will hopefully be more resilient to the arms of the defenders. A smaller hive, however, such as with the fleet of Moloch, which has been forced to scavenge for biomass amidst the barren wasteland of the Ghoul Stars, will have to be far more conservative with its resources. As such, The production of a single hive tyrant will be an incredibly significant investment to the hive mind. And if this commanding beast is repeatedly felled in battle, then it could very well set back the entire hive to such a degree that it will be unable to penetrate deeper into our galaxy. Similarly, it is within the very nature of the Tyranids to split their larger fleets to produce minor splinters dedicated towards claiming strategically important star systems, and if the tyrant of this splinter force is destroyed, then it could put a halt to this invasive force. For example, the hive world of Avarax is currently under siege from a minor tendril of Leviathan, and so a method for quelling this infestation could very well be to locate and exterminate the presiding hive tyrant. But only time will tell to see if the forces of the Space Marines will be successful in such a treacherous endeavor. To look upon a battlefield roiling in its death throes beneath the weight of a tyrannid invasion, we would be met with a most horrific sight. The landscapes will have been buried beneath the skittering waves of gaunts, sweeping out like a tsunami to drown out the world's delectable populace. The skies will be occluded by the swooping flocks of gargoyles, racing ahead to sow panic and confusion amidst the pathetic defenders, softening them up and distracting them from the ravenous swarms still to come. Witnessing this from the field, it may give you the impression that the Tyranids simply attack as a singular charging wave, where the gaunts will mindlessly rush forward until they eventually reach a bastion which cannot be pierced. But in actual fact, this is not to be the case. It is, thanks to the psychic connection of the commanding beasts known as hive tyrants, which will allow the entirety of an invasive swarm to come together. Acting not as a living tide of a trillion uncoordinated creatures, but as a single collective superorganism. As we have discussed, thanks to their innate connection with the Gestalt consciousness, the hive mind can flow through them, extending outwards to worm its way into the primitive brains of the lesser organisms, superseding any primordial instincts and forcing them to act in unison as they sweep out to consume the world. They will no longer collide with one another mid-stride, nor will the swarm break apart, as instead the lesser bioforms will now exist as the living appendages to the hive mind itself. Returning to our war zone, if we were to now look upon it from a bird's eye view, the dreadful coordination of the hive will be plain to see. The invasive swarm will ebb and flow as though they were a sentient ocean, with tyrannid clusters the size of small cities, pulling back only to push outwards towards the regions of the battlefield where their enemies are at their weakest. Reinforced waves will spearhead their way through the tide, replenishing the incomparable losses sustained at the front lines, ensuring that the defenders cannot claim even a single second to take pause and regroup against the offensive. Even the orbital spores will rain down from the will of the hive, being drawn to the synaptic signals of the commanding tyrant, bringing about an apocalyptic bombardment to decimate the highly fortified bastions of their foes. To reiterate the points of the previous chapter, the responsive signals sent to the forces on the ground will primarily come from the Overfiend itself. However, any Tyranids found far from this central figure will be reliant upon the direct will of the hive mind, often channeled through lesser creatures, such as by Tyranid warriors. From all which I have said, it should be clear to see that the hive tyrants are the closest thing to a commander that will exist within a tyrannid swarm. But they are not solely deployed to wrangle control of the lesser masses, as they will also send their own knowledge back through to the hive mind. For you see, these creatures have some of the largest of brains found throughout their species, as they have been formed to be able to absorb, process, and decipher the shifting tides of battle. Everything they detect, whether it be from the site of a great, unbreakable fortress or from locating the overarching commander of the defenders, will be analyzed by the tyrant. And if the beast senses that their forces may be adequate in quelling such a threat, then it can compel the lesser bioforms to move en masse to attack. This will be performed not due to a signal from the hive mind, but instead as an innate urge from the tyrant, prompting the tyrannids to respond as soon as a weakness becomes apparent. This may seem rather odd, as the entire species is subservient to the directives of the Gestalt hive mind, but the tyrants have been granted with a limited sense of autonomy, since it will allow them to immediately trigger a retaliatory offensive without having to wait for a confirmatory signal from the greater hive mind. To be clear, however, they do not possess anything which resembles the same free-thinking independence as would be found in a conventional species, as at the end of the day, their minds still exist as mere protrusions to the cosmic horror of the hive mind. As we mentioned in the previous chapter, the hive tyrants are exceptionally intelligent beasts, being able to analyze vast quantities of data to determine the most effective course of action to be taken by the swarm. But despite this, they are not infallible, and it is not unheard of for their own directives and plans to fail. This could be due to the unforeseen arrival of enemy reinforcements, or simply due to the defending commander being a true veteran of the tyrannic wars, who has found the methods for remaining one step ahead of these extragalactic predators. But just because the tyrant has lost a single battle, it does not mean that they will go on with the same old tactics only to lose the war. As is the case with their entire species, their minds will adapt to the shifting tides, and from their defeat, will they reform their plans and forces to no longer be so susceptible to that which brought them low. Every mistake will be corrected, and even if it takes 100 iterations of their offensive, in time, the tyrant will have produced a tactical plan which is perfectly formed to counter the specific prey which stands against them. If they are indeed successful in overwhelming and consuming the stalwart defenders of their chosen world, then the tyrant, along with the rest of the bioforms, will eventually be dissolved and subsumed back into the biofleet, but along with retaining the biomass of their body, so too will their mind be preserved. The tactics and strategies formed in the pulsating brain of this beast will similarly be assimilated by the hive mind, and so, if the tyrannids were to ever again land upon a world which was defended by the same forces of this conflict, then they will be able to deploy the same stratagems to quickly bring them victory. Thus, the hive tyrants will be conserved, feeding back an ever-growing trove of tactical data to the hive mind, and from every deployment, the entire tyrannid species will become more adapted and more in tune towards how to best consume an entire world. This means that in order to combat the tyrannid menace, that the generals and commanders of our galaxy must similarly adapt their own tactics, as if they remain stagnant in their strategies, then their plans will inevitably be deciphered and overshadowed by the sinister beasts of the hive mind. I previously alluded to the fact that it can take a vast quantity of biomass to produce a single hive tyrant, and that it is something of a grand investment for the hive mind to commit their resources towards their production. But there is something far greater and far more terrible which exists above the Overfiends, and it would be of a unique beast known as the Swarm Lord. Legends say that this bioform is as old as the tyrannid species itself, and that the hive mind has been slowly formulating and refining its form from a time long before their fleets first drifted in through the intergalactic void to probe our galaxy all those years ago. It is undoubtedly the pinnacle of Tyranid evolution, gestated as the finest biological monstrosity to ever grace the soils of our worlds, and its appearance is said to almost invariably seal the fates of the poor defenders to a death within the bowels of a digestion pool. Whilst this beast was first encountered by humanity during the First Tyrannic War, it has been known and feared as a living nightmare to long-dead civilizations whose own distant galaxies have been left as barren husks, entirely devoid of life as we know it. Through the endless void, it has been known as the destroyer of the Kala Empire, the doom of Galantaris, the herald of the great devourer, and perhaps most aptly, the tyrant lord of the hive mind. Though indeed this creature is still a hive tyrant, the capabilities held by the swarm lord will eclipse a common overfiend to such a degree that it will make their lesser tyrant cousins seem to be more akin to common termagants by comparison. As I stated before, we will find hive tyrants on most worlds which have fallen victim to the ravenous hordes of the Tyranids, but when it comes to the Swarm Lord, they will only ever be deployed to the most cataclysmic of conflicts, where the hive mind is in need of a creature who can analyze and outsmart the most erudite of enemy commanders. For you see, their primary purpose is to produce novel strategies against defensive forces which have managed to endure every trick the hive mind could possibly throw at them. If a great bastion has held its footing amidst an endless stream of gaunts, if it has shielded itself from the battering approach of titanic bioforms, and if it truly seems that these hardy few may indeed survive the long night, then, and only then, will the Swarm Lord be called back into being. In order to best fulfill this goal, it has been granted with a sense of freedom and autonomy found in no other bioform throughout their expansive species. It will be allowed to act without the oppressive oversight of the hive mind, as indeed, if the guidance of the Gestalt has thus far failed, then it makes a great deal of sense to deploy a biological nightmare which may act outside of their usual nature. Before we continue, there is a vitally important truth to be known about the Swarm Lord, and it is that in many ways we may consider it as an immortal beast. Over the long years, it has indeed been killed upon many a battlefield. But each time this occurs, its memories and experiences will be perfectly preserved and reabsorbed by the hive. Each time it has been reformed, these memories will persist, allowing it to draw forth from its past knowledge to overcome that which previously brought it low. Since the creature has existed for such an unfathomable duration, facing off against untold thousands of distinct foes, each with their own unique strategies and combat techniques, we can begin to understand how the Swarm Lord will have a truly incomparable degree of experience to draw from. There is almost no plan nor maneuver which it has not previously encountered, and for every action taken by its enemies, will it have a time-worn tactic to deploy to perfectly counter their move. From what we understand, the gestation of a Swarm Lord seems to be something of a stress response to the hive mind. It will be triggered into being only once the hive has run up against an immovable foe who cannot be drowned out by yet another wave of gaunts, and who requires a strength found not in physical might, but in masterful cunning. As I had previously mentioned, the armies of man were first made aware of this sinister beast during the final days of the First Tyrannic War. Hive Fleet Behemoth had spearheaded its way into our stars from the southeastern galactic void, devouring hundreds of once vibrant worlds, until it was finally ground down during a great war of attrition upon the Ultramarines' homeworld of Macragge. Their chapter master, Marneus Kalgar, was quickly identified by the hive mind as being a tactical threat to the Tyranid approach. And so it was during the infamous Battle of the Cold Steel Ridge that the Swarm Lord was first called forth to stand against mankind. Supposedly, the tyrannic swarms immediately shifted in their behaviors, no longer charging as a mindless swarm, but instead attacking with a chilling sense of coordination. Ravenous tunneled through the ice, leading an enormous clutch into the ultramarine lines, but this itself was merely a distraction to force the Astartes into spreading thin, allowing a Carnifex brood to begin their assault upon a Baneblade tank named as the Pride of Hera, almost entirely unopposed. There are too many of these tactical plays to discuss at this time, but when we eventually cover the topic of the First Tyrannic War in more detail, then we will hear the full tale of the clash between Khalgar and of the Swarm Lord. The hive mind will spare no resources when it comes to the gestation of this tyrant lord, but it is important to note that this creature is not merely a commander, but also a shockingly able duelist. Each of its forearms will end with a serrated bone sword fused at the wrist, which, though a biological weapon indeed, will crackle and spark with a field of disruptive energy. This is produced by a curious crystalline growth found within the very core of this blade, which has expanded to jut outwards through the sword's cutting edge, producing the deadly field and rather iconic serrations. Interestingly, this growth seems to be somewhat separate from the Swarm Lord itself, suggesting that it may be another symbiotic entity born from a distant galaxy, but wrangled into submission by the oppressive hive mind. As a final point, I should note that the Swarm Lord is not a bioform which is contained to one single fleet, and rather, any invasive hive may produce the loathsome beast if they find themselves opposed to an unyielding foe, whilst simultaneously holding enough biomass for such an investment. As such, it has been witnessed several times across the galaxy, leading the forces of the Tyranids during their most apocalyptic of conflicts. Aside from the clash between the Tyrant Lord of Behemoth and of the Ultramarines, it has been seen amidst the tides of Leviathan during their invasion of the Blood Angels' homeworld, and supposedly it was even brought forward by the fleet of Jormungandr during their scouring of the star system of Magir. During the Octarius War, where a tendril of Hive Fleet Leviathan was lured into the Orc Empire of Octarius, there were several simultaneous sightings of the Swarm Lord, confirming our darkest suspicions that the Tyranids do not need to take turns in gestating this monstrosity. All this does is to reinforce our terrifying understanding that this species is far more unified than we could have ever previously imagined. And it now seems as though their invasion into our galaxy is coordinated to such a degree that will only elicit nightmares in the minds of those who call these stars as their home. But as a rather comical point, despite all of the strengths which I have laid out, the Swarm Lord appears to be far less effective within our galaxy than we would have otherwise expected. There are so many tales of this evolutionary marvel being bested in single combat that it almost feels as though it exists purely to be slain at the most climactic moment. The Swarm Lord of Behemoth, for instance, though successful in incapacitating the Ultramarine's chapter master, was eventually hunted down and slain within the ice fields. When it was eventually brought back by the fleet of Kraken, the Sons of Gilliman once again located the creature, and Khalgar was able to find vengeance as he personally tore apart the Tyranid commander. Even the High Chaplain Orton Cassius was able to bring a Swarm Lord low, after it emerged at the head of a smaller splinter fleet upon the world of Kolovan. There are many more tales such as this, and we are left only to wonder as to when this beast will finally live up to its supposed might. Otherwise, history may only remember it as a failed creature, which was never quite able to strike fear into the hearts of its enemies. Ever since their species first drifted in from the intergalactic void, plunging our stars into the apocalyptic chaos of the tyrannic wars, their endless armies have been directed and controlled by the will of the impossible hive mind. But upon the field, it will be the hive tyrants who wrangle the hordes into submission. Through their intimate connection with the gestalt consciousness of their species, they will stand as ravenous commanders who, through their own psychic powers, will oversee the destruction and consumption of any who stand against them. Rather interestingly, we have discovered several other variants of the Overfiends, which, whilst not as fearsome as the Swarm Lord, have still garnered a level of infamy from their warpath. Within the mysterious Jericho Reach, a great tendril of High Fleet Dagon has descended to consume the many worlds of this sector. But at their head, they are led by a unique beast known as the Dagon Overlord. No matter the world, as soon as the Tyranids make planetfall within the Reach, then this beast has been seen amidst the swarms, and some have speculated that its mind has similarly been conserved by the Hive Mind, in much of the same way as the Swarm Lord. Another, known as the Nephilim King, has been repeatedly sighted within a splinter tendril of Hive Fleet Behemoth. This force is currently spearheading its way towards the galactic core, and though we are unsure of the Hive Mind's plans, we do know a great deal about the bioforms found within this hive. Commonly known as the Court of the Nephilim King, this splinter force does not rely upon hordes of gaunts, but rather, it seems to almost entirely consist of the most advanced and fearsome of larger bioforms, including carnifexes and towering bio-titans. Thus far, we have not heard of any reputable reports of the Nephilim King being slain in battle, but only time will tell to see if the denizens of the galactic core can finally put an end to this abominable monstrosity. I am confident that there are dozens, perhaps even hundreds more of these unique bioforms stored within the genetic memories of the hive mind, and perhaps there will come a day where the Tyranid invasion reaches its final stage, and we will witness creatures far more powerful than of even the terrible Swarm Lord itself. But with this, I do believe that we have come to our end. My dearest friends, thank you for listening to this investigation into the Hive Tyrants in its entirety, and know that I will soon return with yet another foray into the grim darkness of the far future. For now, however, I must once again wish you with a warm goodbye.